chapter 100. Chapter 100 in Tehillim, Mizmor LeTodah. This Mizmor LeTodah has 5 psukim. The structure of these 5 psukim is something very unique and very beautiful. The meaning of these 5 psukim is very profound. Mizmor LeTodah is said in davening every day. Now, Sfar says it after Baruch Sha'amar. I don't have a clue where Ashkenaz says it, but they say it someplace around there. Huh? Before Ashrei, before Yehichvot, before Yehichvot. It's said every day except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then there's an Erev Yom Tov on which it is not said. And that Erev Yom Tov is Erev Pesach. Because Mizmor LeTodah, the word Todah really has 2 meanings. The biblical meaning of the word Todah is there is a korban, there's a sacrifice that is called the korban Todah. A person who has gone through certain experiences is supposed to bring a korban Todah, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The Gemara says, there are 4 people who have to give thanksgiving to God. And thanksgiving today is expressed by a fellow standing up before the at the time of Kriyat HaTorah and saying the bracha of Hagomel L'chayavon Tovei Shegemalani Kol Tov. We thank God that He did good for us. Birchat Hagomel. Who are the four that have to say the Birchat HaGomel or bring the Korban Todah? Huh? Chola Shenitraper. The Shulchan Aruch says the Chol HaChayim Yoducha Sela. It's in davening there. So the end of Shulchan Aruch says the Chol HaChayim, all of the living Yoducha should thank you. Chayim stands for the Ches, stands for Chola Shenitraper, person who was ill and was healed. The Yud, the 2 Yuds, one Yud talks stands for Yordei Hayam, those who go down to the sea in ships when they arrive home safely, they're supposed to say Birchat HaGomel. The second Yud is Yotsomi Beit HaSudim, somebody who emerges from prison, has been in prison, and he comes out of prison, so he's supposed to Ben Shkermel. And then the Mem stands for Midbar, a person who travels through a desert and emerges safely and unharmed, is supposed to bench Gomel. In the time of the Beth Hamikdash, one would bring a korban Todah, a sacrifice of Todah. Now the sacrifice of Todah can be brought voluntarily, and it can be brought for anybody who's gone through any other kind of experience where one's life was indentured, and now he has emerged from that indenture. The korban Todah, aside from the animal that is brought as a korban, there are 40 loaves of bread that are brought with it. 40 loaves of bread. 30 are matzah and 10 are chametz. Now, there's a very unique halacha here. The halacha is that the korban Todah must be eaten. There's a time limit. Every korban has a time limit. A usual korban shlomim, what's called a peace offering, you can eat for 2 days and the night between them. The one that has the smallest amount of time that you can eat it is the korban Todah. The day on which you brought the sacrifice and that night, by morning it has to be finished. Now can you tell me how is a man going to finish up Agantza Bahaima and 40 loaves of bread? So what the halacha, what Torah really is telling him is that you should involve the larger community around you. Because what Torah wants is that you should publicly express your feelings of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way in which to do it is you have to eat up the 40 loaves of bread and a whole animal. So the way you do it is by inviting many people, lefarshem et hanes, to make the miracle of the salvation that happened to you, to make it well known to others. So the word toda now therefore has two meanings. One is the technical halachic meaning of bringing the toda sacrifice. And then the word toda means, yes, toda, thanks. It can be something that is verbal. It can be something that is emotional. It may even be something intellectual. So now, I'll open up one of my tillums. I don't know what I'm doing with them all, but all right. Mizmor L'Toda, a song of thanksgiving. Hodiyu L'Hashem Kol Ha'aretz. That the entire world. What he means is, as many people as he can, they should all praise the Lord or shout in joy before God. Hodiyu is the term that's used in Tanakh. You know, say for example, when the king comes out of his palace and the king presents himself before the people and he's standing up there on his little mirpetet, and you hear that cry of hurrah going up from the crowd. Hodiyu L'Hashem Kol Ha'aretz. I want to go through the five psukim, and then we're going to take a closer look at the structure, a very, very beautiful structure of these five psukim. Idgu with Hashem b'simcha. Serve God with joy. Bo'u l'fonav v'rinamav. Come before him in song. This word, rinama, is important to me, because this section of six chapters in Tehillim are one unit beginning with Lechu Neranana. Bo'u l'fama, come before him v'denama, in song. The U, ki Hashem hu Elokim, you should know that God is Elokim, hu asanu, he made us, v'lo anachnu, and we are his. We will get back in a moment to something extremely unusual over here. This word, the Masorah says, that it's supposed to be, I mean, how you do it, I don't know, but it's a below with a vav, and it's a low with an aleph. With an aleph. Now, how do you do that? You got some dots over there? The below is supposed to be read or understood as though it is low with an aleph. Now, low with a vav and low with an aleph are contradictory. We are not him or we are not his, so wait, we'll take care of it all for you. Very fascinating. Amo, we are his people, the tzon mad ito, and the sheep that he pastures. Bo shod of the soda, come into his gates with the toda. We're talking about Sharov already. Sharov, imagine somebody who's coming to Yerushalayim in order to bring the Korban Torah. Sharov can mean either the gates leading into the city or the gates leading up to the Temple Mount, because Chatzelotav are already the courtyards of the Beth Hamikdash itself up on the Temple Mount. Come with thanksgiving into his gates, and Chatzelotav, come into his courtyard with Tehila, with praise. Hodulo, thank him. Baruch Hashemo, bless his name. Ki Tov Hashem, because God is good. La'olam Chazdo, his kindness endures forever. va'ador va'ador emunato, and his faithfulness. We're going to have to see what the word emunato means, and we're going to see it all right away. Meanwhile, we have five psukim. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is take a look at this chapter, and I want you to tell me how many commands there are here. Izdu, right? Okay, start with Izdu. Huh? Oh, Hariyu, I'm sorry. Oh, no, Hariyu, guys, you're right. All right, Hariyu, Izdu, Bahu, Du. All right, Bahu, Aspeta Bahu, Kozu, Barco. Seven. Hariyu, Izu, Bo'u, Du'u, Bo'u, Hodu, Bo'u. Yes? Sharav and Chatserotav are two. Sharav are not Chatserotav, and Chatserotav are not Sharav. The chotzer is a courtyard. The only courtyard of significance in Yerushalayim are the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, why did I want you to tell me how many commands there are here? Because when you see that there are seven, you know what that means. Number one, it means that there can be three on one side, three on the other side, and one in the middle. Let's take. Watch what's going to happen. Watch what's going to happen. In this model, so how do you shout out? Shout before God. Izdu, serve God with joy. Bo'u, lefana bernama. Those are three. Now, there's one passage that has only one command. And by the way, that passage, which has command number four, which is the central command of the seven, is in the middle pocket of Mizmor Todah, because there are five psukim, and when there are five psukim, you have two psukim before and two psukim after. Watch, you're going to see a structure over here that is absolutely beautiful. And what is that central theme? The central command, command number four, pocket three, the knowledge of God. The ki Hashem Elokim, that Hashem is Elokim. What's the meaning of the First of all, it means an intellectual knowledge of the God before you are standing. You can't simply come before Him without knowing to whom are you coming, before whom are you standing. And the knowledge of God is not only the knowledge of the existence of God. You have to know that God acts in two ways. He acts as Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, that's God's personal name. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the name of four letters, and He is Elohim. He is Master. What's the difference between Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei and Elohim? So that we've talked about often. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represents the God who is close, the God who is near, the God who is imminent. Elohim is the God who is transcendent. He is far. He is distant. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represents the God who is Avinu. Elohim represents the God who is Malkeinu. Elohim can also mean a judge and justice. And it's because now everybody starts the other way around. They say that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei means God's Midat HaRachamim, his mercy and his compassion, and Elohim is Midat HaDin, God as judge. So first of all, it's because the word Elohim is used in Torah to mean judge as well. In Parshat Mishpatim and another, in Parshat Shoftim and Tetzaveh, says when there is a problem between people, Ad Ha Elohim, before the judges, Yavod Varshnayim. But the idea that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is Midat HaRachamim, God's mercy, and Elohim is It is God who functions as the demanding law. It's because Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is the personal name of God which he gave to the Jewish people, because we have an intimate relationship with him. We know him well. Therefore, he told us that we can call him Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. If, so to speak, one would say that God has a first name and he has a last name, his first name would be Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei and his last name would be Elohim. Now, when you like somebody, you call them by their first name, assuming, of course, you remember it and you didn't forget it, right? It's somebody whom you who are slightly distant from, you may not call him by you don't call him by first name, you call him by his last name. I was at a bat mitzvah this week, Monday night, and I was introduced to America's ambassador to Israel. So I asked him, how am I supposed to address you, His Excellency? So he said, Rabbi, just call me Dan. Alright? Okay. So that represents closeness and warmth. And that's for that reason I was very nice to him when I spoke that evening. I didn't attack the United States or anything. I was very good. I was very, very nice. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is God's personal name, which he gave to us. That represents his being close, that he is near to us. And nearness always brings about a feeling of warmth and mercy and compassion. Elohim is already distant, that is Malkeinu. So De'u means not only you have to know the existence of God, but you have to know how this God functions in the world. That Hashem is Elohim. The profound meaning of Hashem being Elohim means even when he acts distant within, it is also tempered with rachamim. God is never all din in his relationship with us. Even that Elohim, the God who seems to be expressing anger, he's still Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, because even his judgment is always enveloped in his mercifulness. So, because remember, this fellow who's bringing the Korban Todah, he's been through two experiences. He was through an experience in which he saw God as distant as Elohim. And then that God who is Elohim ultimately becomes for him Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. This goes to the very heart of Korban Todah. This is at the heart of Thanksgiving. It follows along with an idea that we expressed in a shiur 2 or 3 weeks ago in a Chumash shiur, to understand that even as we go through a period of suffering, we never sever our relationship with God. Even at the period that he is Elohim, we understand and we know that Elohim can also express himself as Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. We will pray to him and we are able of turning Elohim into Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So that's what a person has to know when he comes to give thanksgiving. Who are Sonu? He's merciful. He made us. We are Yetzir Kapov. We were created by him. Who does not have compassion for something that he made? It says that when God tells Shmuel that he's going to take the kingdom from Shaul, it says all night by Yitabel, he mourned for Shaul. As I would say, what was his mourning? He mourned because this was Maaseh Yadav. Shmuel was the handiwork, the creation of Shmuel. And for a person to see, Shaul was the handiwork of Shmuel. Right. That was a scene a second. All right. And therefore man, to see his creation, to see his creation disintegrating before his very eyes. We are God's handiwork. Hu asanu. He made us. V'lo anachnu. And we belong to him. Lo anachnu means, the way it's written, with a vav. In the vav it means lo anachnu. We are unto him. We therefore owe it that we should be subservient to him. That we should bend and bow before his greater wisdom. And not only we as individuals, but we, he made us Amo, his people, the Tzon Mar Ito, and the sheep that he created. He made us into a people. So I don't want you to lose the structure over here. So here we are at Pasuk 3. Pasuk 3, we have, in Pasuk 3, which is the central Pasuk in Mizmor LaTodah, we have command number 4, which is the central command. Okay? Because there are 7. 3 before Du'u, and 3 after Du'u. Now what's interesting, of course, is, what is the command that precedes Du'u? Bo'u. What's the command that follows Du'u? Bo'u. There are 2 bo'us, come. One before Du'u, and one after Du'u. Bo'u lefonav v'rinono, which is the one that comes before, I have the feeling that it expresses the arrival in Yerushalayim. Come to Yerushalayim, but now the next step is going to be to go into the gates of Yerushalayim and up to the Har HaBayit. Are you here? Before you do that, you have to achieve the du'u, the intellectual knowledge of who did all of this for you. What is the essential nature and the essence of God? Du'u, Ki Hashem, Hu Elokim. And then, oh, once you have achieved Pasuk 3, then Bo'u Sha'arav, now you can come into his gates with Todah, and you can come into his courtyard, B'Tehillah. And you know what you can do? You're ready. Hodu Lo, thank him, and Baruch Hu Shemo, blessed is his name. Ki Tov Hashem, La'olam Chazdo, Vador V'dor Emunato. We still have to go back to Pasuk Gimel. But let's take a look at Pasuk Hey now, with the last Pasuk. Ki Tov Hashem, La'olam Chazdo, God is good, his chesed is forever, Vador V'dor Emunato. What does the word Emunato mean? What's the word emunato mean? Who? Oh, wait. That's a different... What does that mean? I like trust. What does faithfulness mean? You know something is true? Keep going. I should fulfill what I say, or he will fulfill what he promises. What's the back? All right. Okay. Wait. I'm ready to entertain something that I didn't think of. How do you like that? It's very magnanimous of me. Ador v'ador emunato. Rashi here says, I'm going to read a brief Rashi. Rashi says the following, and it Va'abdor v'ador until generation of kayemet emunato. Was that correct? Kol lashon emet ve'emunah. Rashi is telling us a rule. Wherever they use the term emet or emunah, haftocho, it means that a promise has been made, shemamin umatiyah haftachato, that you can trust it, and you can count on that haftacha. Avdor v'dor emunato means, therefore, you can trust in God. You can be certain that He will fulfill whatever He has promised. Just as chavdo. Now the Malbim says, and this is a theme that runs through many psukim in Tehillim, that chavdo is when God acts beyond the confines of nature. Emunacho is when God functions within nature. And you can depend on his promise. Ador, in other words, so not only I'm thanking him for the past, I'm also making a statement that I trust in him for the future, that he will fulfill exactly what he has promised. And there's just something that bothers me. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
In the context of Amuna is on MS and Tokat. And Tokat, the hope is like 1,000 years.
No, that's not what Tokat means here. Yeah, I know, but that's not what Tokat means in the Concordantia. Tokat means, that's right, it's validity. That something has strength and endurance. That's what Tokat means over there. It's Betokat. It endures. That's what Tokat means. That's good. That's good. Tokat. Now, there's something that I became sensitized to this so many years ago, so I can't free myself from it. The words dor vodor, generation to generation, is spelled in Tanakh in different places in different ways. Dor vador is spelled Dalid Reish, and then there are many places where it's Dalid Vav Reish, with a Vav in the middle. I don't think I will ever be, well, I don't know, I shouldn't give up on it, because, you know, every time I come to a pasuk like this, I try and figure out why is it spelled one way and not the other. And I'll just throw it out, and something that we said quite a number of years ago. There is a very beautiful, the Bnei Yosef is one of the Hasidic great, one of the profound Hasidic great. And he says the following: When first man sinned, so he was cursed, his wife was cursed, the serpent was cursed, and he says man's curse was coats v'dardar tatsmiach l'cho min ha'adama, coats thorns and dardar thistles. The word dardar, of course, is spelled dalid reish. So he says, what is this curse of coach the Darda? So it's a Hasidic pshat, but it's very beautiful. And I think we may be able to do something with it right here. But then he starts to say the following. There is one place in Torah where the halacha is, in a sefer Torah, the letter Dalid must be written in large print. Where? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Dalit in a Sefer Torah, in Tefillin, in Mezuzahs, wherever it is written, the Dalit is a big Dalit. There is one place in Torah where a Reish appears, and you have to write the Reish big, a big Reish. Very good. You've been listening to me all these years. That's very good. In Parashat Ki Tisa, it says, Lo tishtachaveh, you shall not bow down, le'el acher. You shall not bow down to another god. That reish has to be written big. Says the Bnei Yisrael, why is this true? Because the difference between a dalit and a reish is really very small. It's the little chuk-chick on the right-hand side of the Dalid. The Dalid crosses over the horizontal line of the Dalid crosses over the edge of the vertical line. This is the vertical line, is that correct? This is the horizontal. In a resh, they come together. In a dalet, it just passes slightly over. Sometimes, if you're reading quickly, you can make it a mistake between a dalet and a resh. So he said, Torah, God didn't want you should make a mistake. Can you imagine, God forbid, a person is going to read Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, oh, I can't even say it out of my mouth, that he is Acher God, red stuff. Or, if I'm going to be learning Pasuk Tisa, and I come to the pasuk where it says, Lo Tishtah Adai Yisham Hatzah Adam Le'el, and I'm going to read that, because I can't see too well, then I'm going to read it, Echad God, this is destructive. So Torah made sure, the Halacha made sure, that the Dalet of Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad is big, and the Reish of Lo Tishtah Adai Le'el Acher is big. So Bnei Yisrael goes on to say, Dalet therefore represents belief in God. Reish represents the opposite of it. The opposite of it. Because Adam HaRishon, first man, did not keep the one mitzvah that God gave him, what he injected into history was the confusion between Dalet and Reish and Dalet and Reish. That throughout history there will be periods where people see God, they see Dalet, and then they see Reish. Dalet, Reish. Dalet, Reish. Would first men not have sinned? It would have been clear to everybody, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In Torah there's a place where Dor is written with out above, the way it's written here. The very end of Parashat B'Shalach, it says, Milchoma la Hashem ba'amalek, God wages war with Amalek, mi Dor, all generations. What is Amalek? Amalek wants to stop Klal Yisrael from coming to Sinai. Amalek are the ones who inject into history doubt. And therefore they create anew the confusion of Dalet and Reish, Dalet and Reish. So I mean, I picked this up and I went, a whole bunch of giant steps further. In the Megillah it says a number of times, Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther. You know, it's Hanukkah is past and Purim, you know, around the corner. So, yeah, that means Pesach. Okay, I know. All right. Okay. So it says in the Megillah, it says that Bahayonim Ha'ela, these days, Nizkorim are remembered Benasim Bechol Dor Vador. And Dor is spelled Dalet Vav Reish, Dalet Vav Reish. Because what took place on Purim was, here are events that seem to be taking place within the realm of the natural. If one wants to, one could explain away the great salvation in the days of Esther. The beautiful Esther was able to overwhelm the heart of the evil Ahasuerus, and that's all. But you see this as an act of God, because we're able to differentiate between the Dalet and the Reish. We see clearly even a Megillah that doesn't have the name of God even written into it, but we see God in every word of that Megillah. I also said it one time, that's the month of Adar. Aleph, Dalet, Reish. We see the Echad. We see the difference of Dalet and Reish in the month of Adar. Abdor Vador Emunat Ha'o means our trust and our faith and our belief that he will keep his promises passes through all periods of history, be it a period of Dalet or be it a period of Reish, be it a period in which God seems, God forbid, to be eclipsed or in concealment. We see him through all of a time. For us, there are no such periods. For us, every period, is in the time of Elohim, we see Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm saying this because I have the feeling that, you know, it's very easy to thank and bless God when things are going well. But isn't there an obligation to shame Shemavarech al HaTovah, Tach Mavarech al Hara? Isn't there an obligation to thank God, not only for the good, but thank Him for the best? What does it mean, thank Him for the best? Thank Him for the best, that is telling us that we accept this as God's will. Adoramanotam means both in times that are good and in times that are bad, we still have trust and faith in Him, and we see Him as the one who decides what is to take place in history. Alright. So we've done our five psukim, and now we still have a number of things to discuss over here. I think it's worthwhile, you should know, an Ari HaKadosh, an Ari HaKadosh, that's not small stuff. First pasuk, Mizmor L'Soda, Hodiyu L'Hashem Kol Haaretz. The Arizal said, the first letters of Hodiyu L'Hashem Kol Haaretz, Hey, Lamed, Chof, Hey. Halacha. Halacha. You know what the Arizal was saying? You want to know the path of God? You want to know how you will ultimately be able to achieve the ability to thank Him? You have to go in His ways. You have to follow the halacha. There is no way to retain or maintain a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without halacha. There is no way of, you know, being a Jew at heart or being a Jew this way, half-hearted, full-hearted, three-quarters heart. It always has to be Hariyu L'Hashem Kol Haaretz, and the person who understands and fulfills the halacha can shout for joy before God. Hariyu L'Hashem Kol Haaretz. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. What does Ivdu mean? Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha. So there are two classic meanings of the word Ivdu or Avodat Hashem. Avodat Hashem is, first of all, the term, the general term, the Rambam uses it. It's used al shlosha devarim ha'olam omed, Torah, Avoda, Gemilus Chassadim. So what does Avoda mean? Avoda means the service of the Korbanos. The Rambam talks about Avodat HaKorbanot. What takes the place of Avodat Korbanot in our time? Tefillah. We say in Tefillah, and you shall serve God your God with your whole heart. The Gemara says, what service of God is there that is in the heart? You must say Zutfila, prayer. So Avoda is prayer, Avoda is carbon. But there's a third shot. I saw it in Rav Shamsin of Paul Hirsch, and I have a raya for it. Rav Shamsin of Paul Hirsch says, Ivdu, everything you do during the course of your waking hours should be l'shem Hashem. As the prophet in Mishlei says, b'chol d'rochecho, in all of your ways, know Him. In all of your ways, know Him means, yes, it's a shaila what to do in business, and there's a shoharat, there's a kosher mishpat. If there's a question what to say or what not to say, no, halacha and Torah don't begin or end within a classroom or a bet knesset or a bet medrash, but you have to take it out into the workplace. You have to take halacha and make it living. During the course of your avoda, you should be serving God with simcha. And I begin to love Jews. I do love them, but I begin to love them more when I get all of the shailas of, in the mammonas, person is concerned with, do I owe this? Don't I owe that? Do I have a right to make this kind of a deal or that kind of a deal? That's talking about serving or working with God, the simcha. That this is, This is Rav Shamsun of Ol Hirsch, that the avodah here, I mean, that you daven with simcha, okay, that you bring a carbon with simcha, but your workaday should be the simcha. I think that what can be proof of this, the Me'iri, one of the Rishonim says, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Omei, the world stands on three things, Torah, Avoda, Yunus Rasadim. So he says a pshat, a Rishon, we can't simply dismiss it, where everybody says that Avoda means a service of the Korbanos, or davening. He says Avoda, you know, I'm going to say the four letter word, work. W-O-R-K. The world stands on Avodah. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Kol Torah She'ini Mamalacha Torah, that doesn't have work with it, so for the tailor will come to nothing at the end. Men, and by men I mean men and women, men must work. Men must be involved in doing something productive. Yet have to be able to accomplish. And you know, the accomplishment does not necessarily mean something that the whole world is going to talk about. Raising a family is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. What are you talking about? One of the biggest. One of the biggest. Is with Hashem the Simcha means you have to be able to go through your whole day with joy. Simcha is not something that should be set aside for a chasana or a bar mitzvah. Simcha is something, and we pointed out often in the past in other shulim, that simcha means an inner contentment, a feeling of satisfaction. Izdu et Hashem the simcha. And of course, never forget the simple meaning of pasuk. Serving God should not be a burden. It shouldn't be a burden. Like, oh, God, I have to go to town. When will davening be over? Listen, if a guy is davening with chazanos over there, I can say, when will davening be over? Davening, it has to be done in the Hashem b'simcha. In the Torah, in Parshat Kitavo, it says that the terrible things that are going to come upon you is tachat asher lo avadetu et Hashem alukecha b'simcha umeidot kol. All of this because you didn't serve God with joy. Because if you serve, I always had this feeling that if you serve God with joy, that's going to carry over to your children as well. If children are going to feel that Yiddishkeit is slightly burdensome for parents, they're going to get the message. Ibn Hashem to Simcha. Fall upon a Birnana. Now, let's take the fourth or fifth look at these five psukim. We can divide these five psukim, as we've already done, we've divided it into three parts. Part one, psukim 1 and 2, in which there are three commands, Hodiyu, right? Hodiyu, Ivdu, and Bahu. And then there is part two, which is one whole pasuk 3, which is the one that says du'u, no. And then we have psukim 4 and 5, which are part 3, that have another three commands. Bo'u, hodu, and baruchu. But if we take a closer look at them, we see that these three parts represent the following. Part 1 represents your emotions. Bo'u l'fanav birinana. Ivdu et Hashem v'simcha, Haliyu l'fonav kol haaretz. We're talking about an emotional arousal before God that you are. You feel God in your bones, but that's not enough. Do you know what you have to do with that profound feeling of joy? You have to take it and intellectualize it. Not enough. You know, the joy can come and go. But then when you take that joy and you now intellectually know that Hashem is Elohim. And then the third part is already Hodu and Baruchu. Hodu and Baruchu now means that in thought and verbally you're going to express what you have learned through the experience of joy. joy through the intellectual exercise of the U, now hold the U bubble. Three in progression. There are many, many experiences that start precisely as an emotional upheaval. Joy! Service of God! Come! No. The U. You have to know them intellectually. And incidentally, maybe it's not incidentally, we have always explained the word de'u as meaning a bit more than de'u. Yediyah, we have pointed out in Tanakh, has another meaning, and that other meaning is another four-letter word, love, L-O-V-E. To know is to love. Vayeda, Adam knew his wife Chava. So it's always an instrument. Relationship is not the be all and the end all. It was the love with which Adam, Vayeda Adam. Same thing it says by Chana, when Chana goes home with Elkanah after receiving the bracha, it says by Yeda Elkanah et Chana Ishto. Elkanah knew his wife Chana. We've explained this in the past as meaning that he finally succeeded in knowing truly what troubles her, how badly she wants a child, and now he finally knows and he loves her. And the place where it all begins is as the three angels leave the house of Avram on their way to destroy Sodom. God says to himself, HaMechatzeh Ani Avram, do I conceal from Avram that which I plan on doing to Sodom? And I promise that all of these lands belong to him. And then God goes on to say, Ki Yedatev, because I know him, Leman Asher Yelamed, he's going to teach his children after him to go in the path of God. So Rashi says, on Yedatev, Rashi says, I love him. Because to truly love means to know. One cannot truly love somebody if you don't really know them. The word Yediyah means to love. So du'u et Hashem, it's perfect. The choice of the word is perfect. If the better you know him, the more you love him, then the greater intellectual knowledge that you have of God, so you know him better. If you know him better, you love him more. Du'u ki Hashem Hashem. Know and therefore love. This Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, who is... that Hashem is Elohim, that the Elohim, who seems to be the God of anger, he's really Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. He's Malkenu. We see him at times as Malkenu, but then we see him, if we really know him and we really love him, we see him as a being. The only thing we have left yet to the below. The U Pasuk, this Pasuk that we're going, the U Ki Hashem Elokim Hu Asanu, he made us. The Lo Anaknu. Now in the Pasuk it's written. How do you have it written in the Pasuk? With an hour. Yeah, and then it says in parentheses, the Lo with a Vav tree. You only have a Vav. But I see here in Ostro also, it only has the Vav. Only the Vav. Yeah. They have the Lamed Aleph small? I don't know. So I'll tell you, the Minchat Shai. The Minchat Shai is the Meforesh and Tanakh, which gives us the precise Mesorah. And the Minchat Shai says it should be written with an Aleph, and so to speak,
red with a vav. So what does it mean? Who asanu? He made us. With an aleph, it means v'lo anachnu. We didn't make ourselves. Don't make the mistake of thinking that all your great successes in life, you're the great one who did it. He made us, not us. We didn't make ourselves. And then as it goes on in the pasuk, we've also become amo v'tzon marito. We didn't make ourselves into an am, a people. He made us into a people. The below with above, the low with above, that we already explained, that it means we are his, we therefore remain faithful to him, huh? It's almost the same thing. Yeah, he made who are from who shake up who are from. The law and act therefore means our obligation is to bend before him and to be subservient to him. But the law and the aleph is making an extremely important statement. It's not coaching the ultimate. It's not my strength and my might has done all of this. Men have to know. And that's what means when we told them we're going to see another. The next chapter we're going to learn, which is far from here, the next chapter is going to deal with the idea that we have to know. And we're going to the important idea of bitachon or hashgacha, the extent to which God is involved in our lives. We are not the balabatis. Now, we do and we act, and on the basis of what we do and we act. You know, if I don't do anything to make myself better, God is not going to make me better. But if I do, then there's a siyata d'shmaya. Yes? It's not a matter of commentary. The Mincha Shai, you know, there's a watchdog on Tanakh. The watchdog to make sure that every pasuk is written and spelled properly is the Mincha Shai. Mincha Shai tells you, don't ask me what you want to ask me. I don't have a clue. Wrote up, I don't know. Who the Mincha Shai was? I've never seen anything written about him. I have to dig in libraries to find out about him. But the Mincha Shai throughout Tanakh, you have him there telling you how words are spelled. The Mincha Shai will also tell you, for example, where else this word appears. How it's spelling the word, everything was there in the Mincha Shai. So that's it. I tell you what, I am most. Just one other thing. Hu asanu, another pshat in Hu asanu, the lo anachnu, before him. We are low. Before him, in his presence, we're nothing. In standing before God, we are low. We are absolutely nothing. So I think what amazes me about this Nizma Lakota, and our rabbis were so correct in having this said every day, its structure is absolutely beautiful. Structure is amazing. Where everything is written, the flow of it, the seven commands, the five psukim, the two before three, the two after three, the ideas that we move from emotion to intellect, and then to machshava and dibur, thought, and we should read it over again. Okay. I don't have a strong commitment on the subject. The Diaspora Yeshiva has a song for Mizmah Lasoda? It's on a record?
Yeah.
Alright, then I'll have to learn it and sing it. I can't listen to you people sing it over there. Huh? Oh,
Well, we're not going yet. I have another few minutes with you, and I want to give you some homework. And you'll be able to do that. If you daven every day, you'll be able to do the homework every day. Mizmor Stoga. Oh, beautiful. Hagiul Hashem Kalaris. I don't know where I remember, but you know, Izu et Hashem Esim Chavol Ufana Bernama. Remember the three shatim that we said in Ibdu. Chavol Ufana Bernama. The U. So really, in the U, we said two things. We spoke about the intellectual knowledge of God. We spoke about knowing that Hashem and Elohim, that Hashem, that Elohim who's distant, is Yud Shevache Yisroel. But we also, there's an emotional tinge we've added to it now. Through the knowledge of God, you will also come to a greater love of God. The more you know Him, the closer you get to Him, the more you will love Him. And therefore, those shot of the soda, chateros of the tila, hold on, hold on, for next week, chapter 30. And if you have more time than 30, you can also do 29. You see, I think I'm going to learn them in the order of 30 and then 29. 30 is Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tabayot L'Dovah, which is said every day in davening before Mizmor L'Dovah. In addition to that, there are many communities that said Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tabayot L'Dovah during all of Chanukah at the end of davening. And chapter 29, which is immediately before that, is Mizmor L'Dovah Hovul Hashem B'nei Eilim, which we say on Shabbos after Lechun Aranana, and all of the six chapters. It's also said when you take the Sefer Torah out, Hovul Hashem. Alright? We have to know why that's done. And if you'll be good, we're going to do that whole bit from 20 to 30, because 23 is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think 30, 24 is L'David Hashem Ori. Oh boy, we're going to go through such amazing, and each one of them has such devoted ideas in them. Okay, everybody. I'm happy to be back. Yes, two questions.
The understanding of the